Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Monday to you. Hopefully you had a great weekend. Welcome to the Game Show. This is PLR. If you're with us today, I apologize for the technical difficulties that we had on Thursday and Friday. Had engineers working their butts off. They finally got it taken care of, but it was a little bit too late. So I definitely apologize if you tried to join us on Thursday and Friday. But here we are. We are back. It is Monday. You probably hear a little pep in my voice. Of course, it's because I am glad to be here with you. I'm also glad because my ASU Sun Devil basketball team showed out this weekend in Lawrence, Kansas. And I'm getting totally ahead of myself. Like I said, this is the Cave Show. This is TLR, and we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco located in Chandler, Arizona. Right on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get on in there and let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. You can sit down. You can relax. They have over 11 big screen, flat screen televisions in there for you to watch any game of your choice. NFL playoffs are right around the corner. Every game means something now. They don't close until the last game goes off. On Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. So make sure you get in there. Sit back, relax, become a club member. Get your own locker, back up to the humidor with the name tag right on front. Let them know PLR sent you, and you will get 10% off of any cigar purchase. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona. Like I said, my ASU Sun Devils basketball team, they are showing out right now, winning. They've beaten so far this year. They didn't have this many good victories in the last 6 years under Sindic, 6 years previous to obviously what I'm saying, where in the course of a 9-0 start, they've beaten Kansas State, they've beaten Xavier, and they beat. You take out the first 5 minutes of the game, that's a 20-some point victory in Lawrence, Kansas over the vaunted Kansas Jayhawks. But we're going to get into that later, get into my little braggadocious moments a little bit later. I want to talk NFL. I want to talk about what's going on. Like I said, we're this close to the playoffs. And if you can see my fingers, I'm doing it this close. You know what I mean? This close. Every win, every loss is definitely going to mean something right now to a team. The team that obviously has the most concern right now would be Philadelphia. And I'm hoping that they're hoping that Nick Foles can somehow, some way, get them into the Super Bowl, which is what they had on their mind when a healthy Carson Wentz was slinging the ball all over the yard. And yes, I said when a healthy Carson Wentz was there. Towards ACL, so it's up to Nick Foles. Nick Foles, to see if he's going to be able to get them to the promised land. I don't know. I know Nick Foles had a magical run about 3 years ago, where he threw like 28 touchdowns, like 1-2 interceptions, something crazy. But this is a whole different thing now. This is big boy football. We're talking about a team that everyone counted out last week because they had one bad week, and this week they bounced back. But we're going to see what's going on with him. No Carson Wentz. That is very tough to overcome. Call in number 917-889-7828. We do have a caller online. Caller, Kate, welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Who do I have with me?
Hey, Paul, it's Lou. How are you?
Lou, hey, what's up, buddy? You know what? I don't know if you caught the very beginning of the show, but I was explaining to everyone, unfortunately, we had a ridiculous technical difficulties over Thursday and Friday. Like, everything was shut. everything was shut down. Couldn't get a read on Thursday. We couldn't, no one could hear us, even though we could hear ourselves. And then on Friday, just everything was just couldn't hear ourselves, couldn't hear out. If a caller called in, we couldn't hear the caller. It was just all bad, but everything technically is sound now. We're back up. We're back running. Good to hear from you. Hopefully you had a good weekend.
Yeah, Friday wasn't available anyway, so no harm, no foul there. But it's got to be a tough break, though, for Wentz. You know, he's cruising along. His thing is having, like, an MVP season, and then he gets this. And now everything is all up in the air. And with Dallas winning yesterday, this makes the NFC East a little bit more competitive. And, you know, just took one injury, and it's the whole complex has now changed. Except you're the Giants,
because
your season's done.
Or the Redskins with that loss to the soon-to-be division-winning champs, LA Chargers, because I'm on that train. But you know what? Even though Dallas won and they're 7-6, Detroit is 7-6, the Green Bay Packers possibly have Aaron Rodgers coming back at 7-6. But you know what, Lou? Atlanta has to play themselves out of it. They're still the 8-5 team. If they take care of business, they're still in.
You just said the magic word, too.
Yeah.
If.
Yeah. Yeah, same with Seattle. Seattle's 8-5. If they take care of business, they're still in. Detroit, Green Bay, and Dallas, they're still all playing from behind right now.
Yeah. I was just going by NFC East, you know, because the Eagles, of course, had this all locked up, and then all of a sudden, you know, now with the injury, and with Dallas now at 7-6, thank goodness. So it does make things a bit more interesting now.
So I'm going to ask you. There's two spots after. Obviously, we know the Eagles are going to wrap it up. Minnesota's going to wrap that division up unless something is ridiculously haywire. And let's give, just for the sake of this, let's give New Orleans the South, just for the sake of this.
Sure.
And let's give the Rams the West, just for the sake of this, because they play Seattle this week in Seattle. So that's going to go a long ways, especially since Seattle beat them once already, so they have the tiebreaker. So if I told you there's two spots left between Dallas, Detroit, Green Bay, Carolina, Atlanta, in Seattle, there's six teams. There's two spots. Who's left out?
Who's left out? Well, I'm not really thinking all that confident about Atlanta, although they have performed better in recent weeks. But I think, for argument's sake, I think they're going to be the odd man out.
Yeah, okay. That's one.
That's one. All right.
And real quick, before you go to that next one, I just want to let you know, they're at Tampa Bay this weekend, which is a real winnable game, because Tampa Bay is back to being Tampa Bay. Then they go to the Saints, and then they end at home with the Panthers. So they can easily go 2-1 in those last ones. So I just want to give you that heads up before you went to your next team.
Okay, well, let me look at the standings on the NFL. To get a more clear view of this, because, you know, it is a bit discombobulated this time of year. What a shock. Yeah, let me go to the NFL page here.
While you're looking at that, I will tell you the team I think has the hardest road to hoe, and that's Seattle. Seattle, they're going to have to face the Rams at home. Then they go to Dallas to play the Cowboys. So pretty much, if they win or lose, let's just say, if they lose next week against the Rams, the Dallas-Seattle loser is going to be out no matter what, because that's seven losses, and no one's going to get in with seven losses. So that's almost – I hate it when people say, well, that's a playoff game, but you know what? That's a playoff game.
I think I have to agree with you with I'm kind of torn between Seattle and the Lions. I'm kind of torn about that. I mean, with Detroit and Green Bay has the tie right now, I think whoever comes out on top, you know, I think Green Bay does have a shot to win, even without Rodgers, because they're doing okay with them. So I would think maybe the Lions could be on the bubble here.
I'm looking at the Packers schedule right now, and you talk about tough. Actually, I take that back. This is Carolina's schedule right now. They're home against the Packers. So pretty much next week is the Packers playoff game. If they lose in Carolina, that they're out. So that's done.
Right.
But after that, they have the Buccaneers, and then they go to the Falcons. So again, if they go 2-1, you know they're in. They only have four losses. Technically, they really only have to win one of those two games, because 10-6, if one of those victories is over Green Bay, should get the Carolina Panthers in.
Yes. Although I do think 9-7, you know, you can't get it because, you know, there have been teams that have been 9-7 have gone in, some have won the division.
I agree with you. The problem is Carolina and New Orleans only has four losses right now, so they would have to lose out. And then the Falcons have five losses, and Seattle has five losses, so they would have to lose at least two more games. And that's why I said the seven losses almost seals the deal for you that you're not getting it this year. If they were in the AFC, it wouldn't matter. But in NFC, seven losses, in that conference, seven losses, you're just not getting in with seven losses.
Right. Although one good thing came out yesterday, the Gronk is out. Beautiful.
Look, when you have seven losses this year in the NFC, that's when you get into if Detroit loses by 12 points and there's a tie for the next three teams and the last team loses by 50, then you get in for the 54th tiebreaker, which is really weird because wasn't it like three, four years ago, a team in the AFC had to happen. Everything they needed to happen, but then they lost. Like, everything lined up. There was a tie. There was three teams that lost that no one thought would lose. There was a team that won that no one thought would win. And all they had to do was win, and they lost. So, hey, I want to ask you a question. What's wrong with the Raiders?
Well, I think after Carr got injured, I think early in the season, I think that did the damage right there.
Yeah, they're just not. Their offense is terrible.
Without your star player, what have you got? Nothing.
Yeah, but even with him back, Amari Cooper looked awful. Crabtree looked awful. The offensive line that was supposed to be one of the best looked like they couldn't block. Just bad. I mean, everything was just bad. Just bad.
Yeah, Cooper's not doing his job either.
He's not doing a thing. So this is when football is fun, because we all know wild card starts, you know, a month from now. But these last three games, you have to be ready, because every game, again, I hate to say it, but it's like a playoff game for certain teams. And then you have teams like the Giants, or teams like the Bears, or teams like Tampa Bay. They're going to ruin it for someone. I mean, outside looking in, Cincinnati had a shot at the playoffs until they give up 33 points to the Bears, who haven't scored 33 points on a season.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals, I wasn't too, you know, they've been stumbling all year as well.
Tonight, Miami, New England, South Beach. I don't think there's a chance in hell Miami wins that game. What are your thoughts?
Not a prayer. Even with Gronkowski out, still, you know, you're talking the Patriots versus the Bears. It's probably even no contest.
He's going.
I don't see anything good coming out for the Bears in this game at all.
No. Miami, New England. That's not us.
Yeah,
we won. We. Yeah. Yeah, we of the Chicago Forever since I went to ASU. And I still call them we.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be much of a contest. I think the Patriots got this hands down.
Yeah, Dolphins should move to 5-8 tonight. And if anyone would have told me when the season started that the Jets and Miami would have the exact same record, I would have told them they were lying, because really thought that that Miami would have been, if not a playoff team, close to being a playoff team.
And if anybody thought that the Jets were going to do better than the Giants, they all thought it was crazy too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Todd Bowles to me has definitely earned another contract. Without a doubt, he should be back next year.
Yeah, he should be. I mean,
should be.
I wasn't expecting, much from the Jets this season, but, better than the last season.
I tell you what, I can't wait till this week.
Yeah, I wasn't
expecting
the
Bills
to make a wild card.
The Bills are terrible.
I know.
The Bills are just terrible. It looks like a team. I've never seen a team look like it has a shot at going to the playoffs, but they do everything possible to not want to go to the playoffs. And hopefully for our eyes, they don't get in. Hopefully Tennessee and I really honestly believe that Tennessee and the winner of Tennessee-Jacksonville out of that division is going to get in. I think Jacksonville is just a better team, and they should win that division. And I think Tennessee will find a way in at probably 10-6. And I think Oakland and the Chargers, one of them will get in over Buffalo, because Buffalo does not want to be in the playoffs. They're doing everything but telling us. They just don't want to be there. You know what? They're a husband that comes home at 5 a.m. every night hoping that one day his wife says, I want a divorce, because he just doesn't want to have it. So he just doesn't come home. Just because I'm going to come home at 5 a.m. drunk every night with lipstick on my collar, smelling the perfume, and one day she's going to ask me for a divorce. And that's what Buffalo's doing with the playoffs. They don't want in. They know they don't want in.
So, yeah, that's a shame. I never heard of a team that didn't want, do we even care? Well, what kind of a team is that?
Yeah.
I thought you were supposed to go with the winning attitude, like, okay, we know we suck, so why do we even bother? Why do we even play the rest of the season? Do we even care?
Exactly. Why do we have 7 wins? We're not going to get the draft pick we wanted. What are we doing? So we need to get some more losses in here, so we can, get into that top 10 somehow and get the player that we want. So they're a joke of a football team, a joke of a management, and anyone that sat around and watched that game yesterday, first off, I don't know why anyone in Buffalo even wanted to go to that game, but it's football, it's Buffalo, and I guess there's nothing else to it, but it is what it is, my friend.
Give me a home where the buffalo isn't going to roam. Okay. Oh.
All right, my friend. Well,
And it's snowing every freaking day. Whoa.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
We are back. Technical difficulties are done. Hopefully I hear from you tomorrow. We'll be back better than ever.
All right.
All right, buddy.
My alarm clock early.
All righty, my man. Thank you so much for the call.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, buddy. That's our good friend, good friend to the program. Lou gives us a call. I know we had touched on it, but we didn't say as much, but tough break for Philly, losing Carson Wentz, who was probably one of the top three candidates for MVP of the league, and ACL torn, ACL for him, ACL for Deshaun Watson, two of the five of the top young, probably the two best, with Jared Goff, so that's not fair for me to say. Two out of the three top quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, coming up that have shown so much brilliance and flashes of greatness, done for the year. And an ACL, so, ACL is a trick. You don't know if the body will be back ready to go by kickoff of next year, especially the way Watson and Wentz play. They're so athletic, so strong. They take tacklers on. And the thing is, I know an ACL and an MCL and a PCL, they're usually non-contact. They're going to get hurt. You know, it's not like breaking a leg where someone hits you, or breaking an ankle where someone hurts you, or a shoulder or something like that. Usually those are going to happen. But it's just what they're going to be like when they come back. Everyone says the NFL's done. No one watches it. No one does anything. They're done. It's all that protesting. Skill to the NFL. No one even talks about protesting anymore, to be perfectly honest with you. It's not even fifth page on regular news feeds. No one really even notices it. There could have been five people kneeling this weekend, not even mentioned. And if not for a game, not for anyone, no one notices at all. But dang it, all those protesters, the people that are protesting, the protesters, they're not watching that nonsense because they're whatever. Folks, Verizon just signed a deal worth $2.5 billion to stream NFL games. Now, I'm not an employee of Verizon. I'm not in upper management at Verizon. I'm not in the funding department at Verizon. I'm not at development with Verizon. I'm not in strategic outlook for Verizon. I'm not in the business to do anything with Verizon at all. At all. I do nothing for Verizon. But I do know if they spend $2.5 billion, American money, and as billion would it be, $2.5 billion, billion dollars, to stream the NFL, NFL isn't doing quite as bad as everyone wants you to think it is doing. $2.5 billion would it be dollars. They're not doing as bad as everyone wants you to believe. It's impossible for anything to hit the top, to hit the mountain peak, to hit that apex and stay there the whole time. There are other interests out there, folks. There are X Games. There's basketball, there's this, there's other channels, there's other things for people to do with their dollar. But if you're spending $2.5 billion with them, you're doing something right. 8 years ago, the NFL made $8 billion. Last year, they made $14 billion. Yeah, those doggone protesters. They're ruining football. They're killing football. They're ruining the whole schedule. If you listen to radio, you know who I'm making fun of there. But it isn't. It's not. I definitely don't work for the four-letter. Four-letter has nothing to do with my show whatsoever. People hate the four-letter. They're too liberal. They just have a liberal agenda. They do. And Fox Sports Net, they don't have a liberal agenda. All they do is bring you to sports. Bring you to sports. Right on. That's all they do. They want nothing else to do with anything else. Rumor has it, the four-letter is attempting to buy With money that they must have stashed away in a mattress for a rainy day. Every local Fox Net affiliate to continue bringing you sports. Now, again, I wasn't a math major in school. I took econ, but I didn't major in it. But I'll tell you this. If Fox is selling, they're not making the money that they want to make. And if ESPN is buying, and they're telling you they obviously can make it better, or they're just going to take over everything. And if they're just going to take over everything, they got to have the money to do it, and they got it somewhere. Again, I'm not in their strategic development department, but they got to think it's going to make them money. Quite funny, huh? Four letter, far too liberal. They express their opinion far too much. But there's a guy on Fox Sports Radio named Clay Travis that expresses his opinion a lot on the other side, but we never hear his name. But anyway, so basketball, let's get a switch up. I want to talk basketball. I want to talk pro hoops. I was working the Phoenix Suns game the other night, and yeah, they did come back. The Suns were getting crushed. They were down by almost 20 points. They made it interesting. They made a late run. They were trying to really get back in the game. They even took the lead for a minute. They came all the way back. You know, they're infamous. They stormed all the way back. Now, unfortunately, they did lose the game to San Antonio. But they played hard. They played with a lot of heart. You really have to give them credit. And I'm not being facetious. I'm not being mean. They played hard, and they really did give San Antonio a run for their money. But I do want to point out something. The Spurs playing without Green, Anderson, Gasol, Ginobili, Leonard, and Parker. So they won with LaMarcus Aldridge and Patty Mills and a bunch of guys that were a bunch of guys that plays for the Spurs. Yeah. That's what we have right now in Phoenix for basketball. I'm not going to say they did everything wrong because that's unfair. Because they did a lot of right. I mean, they really did come back. They came storming back. I mean, they're 9-19. They're not Dallas. They're not 7-20. But they did come back. An optimist would say they're only 5 spots out of the playoffs. That's what an optimist would say. But for someone that does a lot of Phoenix games, I honestly don't know. Like, if you ask me, like, when you asked me last year what direction the Suns were going in, I could honestly tell you I saw the direction. But I don't know. I don't know what direction we're going in. Dragan Bender didn't play very well in the first half of the game on Saturday night. Dragan Bender didn't play the second half of the game. We got a whole lot of people not Dragan Bender. We got a lot of Jared Dudley. And I'm not saying guys should be rewarded and should get charity minutes if they're not playing well. I'm not saying that at all. I'm shooting for the future, and I want to know what's going on. I want a whole lot more of young guys. You know, I don't want Dragan Bender playing 6 minutes. I mean, think about it. Alex Lynn got a DNP, coach's decision. T.J. Warren, 31 minutes. Josh Jackson, 29. Tyson Chandler, 26. I want Josh Jackson getting 26 minutes. I want Warren getting 31 minutes. I want Marquise getting 25 minutes. But I don't want a guy that's just been called up from the D-League and Daniel House getting more minutes than Dragan Bender when I'm being told that Dragan Bender is my future. Jared Dudley brings a level of veteran leadership and calmness to coaches that, the joke is that he's the highest paid assistant coach / player in the league at $10 million a year. And there's a lot of times where they need that stability and Jared knowing what's going on. But in 17 minutes, and I know there's more to it than stats. I'm not that analytical guy that's going to give you a whole bunch of stats all the time. But if Jared Dudley's giving me 0 for 3 from the field, and that's 0 for 3 from the three-point line, and 1 rebound, 0 points, no assists, no steals, I don't need 17 minutes of Jared Dudley. And I'm just being honest. In 17 minutes, I'd rather give those minutes to Bender. Listen, you're on a team, and I don't want to say they're tanking because I hate that phrase. They're not tanking. But with the roster they have, they're technically not doing a lot to win. Devin Booker's hurt. You traded your other best player. I don't want to see veterans. If you're going to – and I know this sounds bad, but if you're going to lose, you're going to lose anyway. And maybe it's just we're trying to manage egos and manage confidence. But if you lose in any way, how much are you managing confidence? I want to see young kids play. I do. I want to see what Dragan Bender has. I want to see what Dragan Bender is doing when Dragan Bender isn't playing well. It's easy to leave him in the game when he didn't miss an assignment and when he's hitting threes and I want to see how he recovers. I want to see him get better. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see the direction. And maybe it's not for me to see, because they obviously have a plan for what they're doing and what they want to do. But I'm just surprised at the season and the way it's going. On Friday, we'll have Fleagues at 15. He'll talk basketball. I'm sure we'll get into a lot of Sun stuff. Over the weekend, Derek Jeter proved why he is the greatest, well, one of the greatest Yankees of all time, as he traded Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees from the Marlins. Got back a lot of prospects, Sterling Castro. So, waived his no trade clause, went to the Yankees. What an outfield. What an outfield. You know, standing with the Judge, they may hit 120 home runs. They may hit 130 home runs. They have about 270 strikeouts, but they're going to hit a lot of home runs. And the Yankees, if they can get their pitching in order and keep their pitching in order as they're trying to hold on to CC Sabathia, they may go from the team that everyone said wasn't ready yet to the team that's favorite. The Yankees, again, get their pitching right. They just may be favored to win the AL East this year. Because they're definitely going to have the home run hitting now. And we're not even mentioning Gary Sanchez, who hits the cover off the ball already. The Yankees are going to be good. For a long time. They are back to being the Yankees. And you know what's going to happen? There's going to be some yahoo. The Yankees were able to get him and no one else was. It was a trade. All you had to do was offer the right bowl of whatever, and Jeter would have taken it as long as you can convince Dan to waive his no trade. And if you're Giancarlo Stanton and you're a small market team, and you're complaining, which is what small market teams do, and you're not winning, he wasn't going to come to you anyway. He would have just stayed where he was to lose. You know, since Jeter threatened him, if you stay here, I'm going to take everyone that can play from around you that's making any money, I'm going to take all of them away from you. Part of me wishes he would have said, okay, fine, go for it. Go for it. You justify this to Miami. I'm not. You go for it. You surround me with a bunch of people with no talent. You do that. I'm not going to help you do that. Part of me wishes that's exactly what he would have done. So we shall see. We shall see. College basketball, as we wrap up, I'll be talking about this all week. Kind of figured I would. My Arizona State Sun Devils basketball team. And I said my. They went to Kansas and won. Now, full disclosure, I'm going to tell you what I said this weekend to a good friend of mine out there in the Valley of the Sun that does sports as well. I said, you know what, if we get into Kansas and we lose, but it's a respectable loss, like we fight hard to the end, and we battle and battle and battle, that's going to not only be good for the team, but it's going to be good for recruits. Because the one thing Bobby Hurley has done since he's been here, head coach Bobby Hurley, is he's taken tough teams. A couple years ago, he took Kentucky. ASU got their brains beat in down in Lexington. But he showed that he'll take good games. And I'm always, you know, crapping on the last coach, Sendik, just because I thought he took coward games in the preseason. I think he really took tough games, which made the team better before we got in the conference play. So we would always be, you know, 7-3, 8-2, whatever, 9-1, but we played absolutely nobody. We didn't play anybody. And I just thought it was bad because the team never got tough and they never showed anything. Bobby Hurley, we were in a tournament over Thanksgiving. up in Vegas playing at the Orleans, beat K-State. Beat Xavier back-to-back nights. Rated Xavier team was rated 15 at the time. They're in the top 10 now. They're 9-1, only one loss on the year to ASU. And they're a great team. They're a good team. They're a tournament team. Every year in your bracket, you know you have Xavier. If not in the Sweet 16, losing just before the Sweet 16. You know that, and I know that. And they didn't just win against Xavier. They fell down early, and if you take, again, this is going to sound familiar, the first 4 or 5 minutes away from that game, ASU wins that game by over 20-some points. They didn't beat Xavier. They beat Xavier. Well, the same thing happened to Lawrence, Kansas. You take that first 5-10 minutes away, ASU beats Kansas by over 20 points in Lawrence. Now, here's the thing that you got to remember here. ASU basketball has made a 100% turn from the Sendak days. It's not bring the ball up the court, dribble for 35 minutes, and then take a last-second shot. They get up and down the court. They let the ball fly. They rely a lot on their guards, senior guards, all three of them, and they're doing everything right now. Now, I'm not crazy. I know that the Pac-12 conference schedule is going to get harder. They opened the Pac-12 conference against the team in Tucson. You know, they're back in the top 20. They lost 3 games in a row, which is something that never happens. I'm a realist. I understand that. I know that. But in all honesty, this team is playing well. They also have a win over St. John's. And then they have Vanderbilt coming to town to Tempe on Sunday. They're shying away from no one. And if you know Vanderbilt, that was still a pretty good basketball team. But kudos out for the rest of the week. Starting tomorrow, I will be playing the ASU flight game a lot, a whole lot. And I'm doing all this just to let you know, Arizona State Sun Devils received 5 first-place votes to be ranked number 1 in the nation. Right now it's Villanova, Michigan State, Wichita State, Duke, and then ASU ranked number 5 in the country at 9-0. That's right, ASU basketball ranked number 5 in the nation. We will have that fight music up and loaded and ready to go starting tomorrow. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Thanks, Lou, for giving a call in. Good friend of the program. Have some special guests coming up later this week. I'll have all that out. Just make sure you're following us on social media to know all that. Twitter, Instagram, the Facebook fan page, at The Sports Cave. Website, sportscave.com, where cave is always, always, always with K. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. Until next time, thanks for joining us today. This has been the K Show. This is PLR. Take care. That star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it. I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope when my back's against the ropes.